Okay. Yeah, this is what I was going to say last week. I don't know how many of you met the alumni who were here. There weren't so many that came, but there were several that came to visit the yeshiva the past couple of weeks. And one of them was telling me, Joe Tropp, he was telling me about this guy in YU. Whenever this guy is learning in YU, like, you just see the guy is just always smiling. He's always happy. So I think it's beautiful, and I've learned plenty in my life, Baruch Hashem. I don't usually smile when I'm learning. Like, you know, it's like you're watching. I also happen to root for bad sports teams, but on the rare occasion when they've been good, so I probably smiled more. Then I don't really smile so much, but it really left a big impact in me with me on just how much, you know, our Torah should really mean. And no, hurry, you know. You're entering the real world like tomorrow. You know, you're out of yeshiva, and to really make Torah matter is like anything. When you have happiness inside, like people who I talk to, like Reboaz wants to work till he's 100. I don't want to work till I'm 100. That doesn't indicate that I don't like working. It just means that I don't want to work till I'm 100. But he loves working so much. Like, yeah, that's all he wants to do. Like, he wants to be like that. He's working. Like, the day he dies, like, they're able to say, oh, he came to work yesterday. That's like his mahus. And Torah's got to be that. Torah's our number one avoda that we're doing, and it has to come with excitement. We're going to talk about a few ideas. I asked Moreno Rabbeinu of Natana Leibowitz a few months ago, right now. I even mentioned this to you guys once before. How many alumni he thinks in the yeshiva have learned every single day since they left yeshiva? So Uri's like pretty lucky. If Uri learns like tomorrow, you know, he's like, you know, in the top, you know, one percentile of alumni, because you'll have been one for one in days since you were an alumni of learning. So he had a very, very short list of people. I actually tried to think if I was on that list. I couldn't tell. Like, you know, there's definitely been days that it's been minimal. It's been minimal if it was. I don't know. But it was very, very few people. The Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Lamed Aleph, you know, it's good. When I was in YU, they had what they called the Sora. You know, you had notes. So now, like, because there's so much rollover of teachers, you don't really have it anymore. But for some teachers, you get a list of, I don't know, like 50, 100 questions, whatever it would be, and the test is going to come from that. It's like pretty easy. Like, you don't have to do, you can sleep the whole semester. You know, you spend, I don't know, an hour, 2 hours, whatever amount of time it takes to memorize 100 questions, and boom, you go into the test and you're able to do well. So, you know, eventually, you know, hopefully at the right time for us all, we're gonna enter up to the Olam Habas, where our life will be over, and God's gonna ask us a bunch of things. It could be pretty scary. You know, He might ask Uri, like, why did you pick skiing over snowboarding? Like, we don't know. Like, Benji, why did you pick YU over land? Like, you know, we don't know. God could have a lot of questions. It could be a very intimate moment. Who knows what it's going to be? But luckily for us, the Gemara and Shabbos and Daf Lamed Aleph tells us several of the questions, I think six in total, that a Kaddish Baruch Hu will ask us. And one of them are going to be, were you Koveh Eitim? Did you set aside time every single day to learning? And to really stress and to put a focal point in all of our lives on what that really means. That you know, an everyday thing, like, how many things do we do every day? When you think about it, like, to tefillin every day. You know, if we sit just like, you know, there's most things we don't really do every day. You know, we don't cereal every day. Like, all our days are different. But right now, you know, however 19, 20, however old each of you are, and you know, it's 100 more years of life from your tzeshem, and to have, yeah, he really wants that 100 years more of life. That was like that was loud of me. That was louder than like not wanting Uri to leave us. That was like really chazak. But like to say that every single day, I set aside time every day. Like, there was no such thing as a day that I didn't learn. You know, how incredible would that be? And to find time. And there was another alumni who was here. I'm not gonna say it's like a bad thing, but he was talking about how it's really hard for him to learn. Like, sometimes you go to university. As you get older, never say the following line: I'm so busy. Number one, you're probably not as busy as you think. Number two, whoever you're telling that to doesn't actually care. Like, you know, it's not, oh, I'm so busy. I don't care. I couldn't care less that you're so busy. But more importantly, you just look like a fool because you're probably not as busy as you actually think. But there is it's really all that. So this guy said that, you know, like, it's really hard with college. Like, I really try very hard to learn every day. He was saying this to a specific shiur. And they're like, oh, how long do you learn every day? It's like 10, 15 minutes. Like, it's a real struggle. I'm not like, you know, mocking the guy. And Baruch Hashem, if you're able to even find 10-15 minutes, it's better. It's better than 0 minutes. But that's not like so great. I mean, we don't have to sugarcoat things. Like, I don't want to be like, if you go back and tomorrow you only learn 10 minutes, or 2 days you learn 10 minutes. Like, well, Mark said it's not so great. So like, you know, let's go find Christina and, you know, let's go raise like, get, you know, get Jamals in the world. You know, that's not what I'm saying that you should do. I'm not saying you don't have to be like so. You don't have to be so radicalized like that. But to understand that we can be doing better, and to really evaluate your time of what it is that you're able to do. Like, just if you want to find the easiest way to do more than 10-15 minutes, get to each minion 10 minutes early and learn for those 10 minutes. Oh, we did a half hour. Stay 10 minutes after. You just did an hour. You know, we suddenly found that there's more than 10 minutes again. It's better than 0 minutes, and I'm not. I don't want you to think that like you're the scum of the world, and you know the guy in like Binghamton who he doesn't even know what tefillin is anymore. You know, like, I'm on that level. No, you're not on that level. But to understand that there's more. Also, one of the things that gives me a lot of chizik. I look at my gemaras, and I wish I had actually written dates on them, full dates, because it would be less confusing. But I'll sometimes see finish October 9th. Okay, October 9th. I don't know. 2008, 2014, 2022. Like, who knows what I meant by when I wrote that? But I do recall whenever I'd be learning the Gemara, I'd have like certain times, certain expectations of when I wanted to finish. And it's very, very important. Have goals. Whatever that goal might be. I've actually heard recently. I was a little, not surprised. Whatever. They're like, not every guy in Leif HaTor does Shnayim Mikra. I know. So that's a hard one to wrap my head around. Like. You know, that's up there with like why we always test. You know, that for Corona, like, it's the same. Okay, you're flying, you have to test. But like, you know, it's the same idea. Oh, you don't have to test. Oh, yo, gotta get out of America and Israel. You know, they're the protesters. You got it right. Maybe you're driving. That's why you don't need to test. But to really have certain projects and to aim to finish them, whatever that might be, and to have it in there, because then you're going to see like years later, oh wow, I really okay, you're really setting goals, and you're going to see the unbelievable fruit of what you put your time into. But like, I don't know, say whatever you did this year, say you did 25 daf of Maseches Pesachim, but like, you're able to see that like over the time. Like, it didn't happen in a vacuum. It didn't happen in 9 minutes. It happened over, you know, from when you got here until January 26th or 27th or February 7th or June 1st or, you know, whenever Rabbeinu Amar is going to leave us. I don't know the exact date, but you know, not the world. At the current juncture of time, you're all very lucky you're single. I'll just tell a relatively funny story about that. When I didn't get married so young. I was 26 when I got married. But I must have been like 23 at the time. So probably not at the point like I was like, I needed to be married. But like, at the point like, that was like where the trajectory of my chaverim were going. And I was at out across from YU, they have this mini mart. And I was there, and there was this, between 21 and 24 year old woman. Probably older than 21, but and she had two little kids, and they're playing with the door and they're slamming it on their hand, like that's what they're doing for like a good like 3 to 4 minutes, and they're crying and they're wondering why they're crying because their mom is slamming it on their hand. This woman's like trying to like pay, she's trying to like hold, maybe they're drinking, like holding a baby while doing this, like juggling a million things. I'm with my friend at that time. We're both single. Okay, we both now are married with 4 kids, so you know things do add up. I don't know, maybe this woman's got 12 kids right now. Who knows? And we both say to each other, we are so not jealous that we're not married right now. Like, yeah, I don't need to have it. Like, my wife's telling me, oh, yeah, you know, Shmoly, he broke his fingers. Like, why? Well, I was in the mini bar, very overwhelmed, and he was slamming the door on his hands. But Baruch Hashem, at this current time, you're all very lucky that you're single. Hopefully in a few years from now, that won't be the case. But at this current time, you're very, very lucky. One of the advantages of being single, besides having much more time than you think, is you don't really have any responsibility in the world. Which is a big bracha. So what you're able to do, either really excited about being, he's either really excited about the prospect of being married in a few years or not having responsibility. I don't know, but you know, he's like that guy in YU who's smiling when he's learning Torah. So the advantage that you guys have over like myself, just because one, it may not be possible, and two, my wife's just not going to fly for it, is what you guys can do in Erev Shabbos. So there is a. I actually remember a guy I roomed with when I was Shana Aleph. He was Shana Bet. He would, at about 11:30 or so every Erev Shabbos, he would go to the room, he would take a shower, he would shave. Although knowing him, hard to imagine he really did shave, but okay, fine. But he did whatever he would do, and at like 11:40 he would go to the Beis Medrash in his Shabbos clothing, ready to go, and he didn't leave until Mincha. So I say, I don't know, Mincha could be at 4 o'clock this time of year, 4:30, could be at 7 o'clock in the summer, whatever it was. And he was there for anywhere from 4.5 to 8 hours before Shabbos being able to learn. It's really, really beautiful. I personally, I'm not in like a boat that it would just be impossible. If I did, my wife would be like, oh, that's great, but nothing set. The kids went crazy. They slammed all the doors in their fingers. And it wouldn't really work. But, and I'm not saying that could be an extreme. But I definitely, before I got married, I definitely, every hour shot, I made an effort not, I wouldn't get there at 11:30. Let's not be too far-fetched, but I did try to get to shul like an hour before Shabbos, because at the end of the day, my parents didn't really need me. Whatever I need to do, you don't have responsibility. When you don't have responsibility, there's just not so much that you need to do. You get everything done, you take your shower, you shave, you clean whatever you have to do, you help your parents set the table, and you're able to leave. And when you're able to do that like hour before, and even more, what makes it more geschmack is because most people can't do it. So you're there and you're just seeing it, you're the only one there. And you're like, wow, I'm really from it. Those MMY Michalak girl, forget about the Shalvim guys. Leva Torah side conference room next to Rocha Guy. That's what they're all talking about right now. All the really, really from Midrash and Moriah girls and MMY, all the really from girls right now, they're all saying Ethan, Moshe, Benji, Uri. No, that's where it's at. That is where it's at. Look at them right now. Erev Shabbos, they're there 2 hours before Shabbos, and they're whooping out. They've never thought about missing Shnai Mikra. You're gonna, whatever the Sfari shul in LA is that you go to that I definitely never heard of, and you're bringing it down in 2 weeks. They're gonna rename it the Ethan, the Bias Ethan, the Base Ethan. Whatever lesson they want to do. But you guys have really had that potential. What you're able to do on Erev Shabbos, I don't remember. Because it was one or the other. Ramosha finds in the Chavetz Chaim, one of them says about Friday and one of them says about Shabbos, that they only became what they were because of that day. Because of what they did on Erev Shabbos and what they did on Shabbos, which leads into, obviously, Shabbos. So Shabbos isn't the same as Erev Shabbos. Even when you're older, you can escape. I can't escape for 5 hours, but you can escape. Erev Shabbos is impossible. Everyone will have shittos. I try to have my kids limit their screen time. But it is impossible. If they don't watch an Erev Shabbos, someone is going to get very badly, physically or emotionally hurt before Shabbos. They just need that for any level of sanity, because you just can't operate. But Shabbos day, it's a little easier. It could be before davening, whatever they're shiurim, you're able to do it. But again, with no responsibility, you should really be able to accumulate the amount of hours you're able to. And this guy Joe Travolo was saying, why you took Corona, they still do to some extent, but they took it very seriously last year. And he said, meals are 5 minutes. So you would just go right back to, they weren't allowed to sink. They ruled it, you weren't allowed to sink. Then my mouth, they would literally, Kabbalah Shabbos. I don't need a Leva Torah singing Kabbalah Shabbos, but to not sing L'chadodi, almost to me it seems, that's, It's what's religion? The first Shabbos we davened outside during Corona, and I davened the Sikkim, so it was early, so I was the Chazan for Shachars, and I didn't sing Keladon, you didn't want to wake up the neighbors, and it was pretty early. I don't like singing, but I thought that was really, really, really crazy. But to take out of that, to really, and whatever the amount of time is going to be, but don't waste Erev Shabbos. Don't waste Shabbos. Make the most of that time. And really make the most of the time in life that you are. You don't have responsibilities. And to maximize whatever you're doing in that time, don't be I slept for 17. I slept from Friday morning 9 o'clock till Motzei Shabbos. Those 36 hours, whatever it might be. I slept for 28 of those. Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy. Then the MMY girls, they ain't looking your way. We'll put it that way. I once had At once. I've had times I watch sports with other members of my family who don't like sports. And it's a very, for me, it's very unenjoyable, and for them, it's very unenjoyable. Because when you have a lack of knowledge, something's just not fun. Like, if you start breaking down, like, physics and calculus to me, like, I'm gonna make, like, Rav Chagai is gonna have to move, because I'm gonna be dashing to him so quickly, like, I'm gonna cut you. I'll probably be the one that ends up getting injured there. But, you know, there's going to be such a quick dash there. Like, I'll have just zero interest in talking about that. And a lot of what makes Torah very difficult, and one of the things that we really do need to work on is just our knowledge is just very bad. Like, we just don't... And the same would work for me. Like, I have very limited knowledge. Like, a lot of times, like, we'll get blown away by people who don't really know a lot. Because we know so little, it sounds like they know so much. Like when you, it's like sometimes like you'll talk to. Like I'm pretty into like analytics in sports. Like I'm a big analytics person, and like that's how like you know when you actually know. Like sometimes like you'll just hear people talking like they don't understand anything. They mom or like for anyone who saw like or knows that at the end of the Bills Chiefs game, like I like really broken down like how that game ended and like from a real but like something I feel like. Yeah, they'll just tell you, no, you don't know anything. Like, I don't know, go back to like Pokemon or whatever. Something you know, this clearly isn't your forte. But and that's a lot of the issue with Torah that we just don't know. We just don't know so much. Which in ways it's hard, it's challenging. Whenever anything's difficult, it's challenging. But that's also should give it a level of excitement because when you don't know, it's like when you go on a first date, like people have different perspectives on a first date. A lot of times, like you're just asking questions, you know the answers to it could be pretty boring, but you could also look at it, I don't know anything about you. I know nothing about you. So there could be a time, like what could be more exciting than that? That everything you're about to tell me is going to be a chiddush. Like I don't know, like, I thought that I would go on dates, like I really went cold turkey. I knew nothing. So like, I would ask you anything. Like, you tell me, like, I didn't know where you lived. I didn't know where you were from. Like, I didn't know anything. Like, I'm not recommending you do that. You should know a little bit more. And there's a good reason why we didn't go on second dates. But everything you were talking about was all new. So when we don't know a lot of Torah, that should be our level of excitement and to really work on that. So just a few things that are absolute chobos. If you don't do Shnai Mikra yet, you have to do Shnai Mikra. It's
What's Shnai Mikra?
We'll talk about it after. I don't know if you're making a joke.
I'm making a joke.
Okay. Yeah. this is going on while you're Torah. So you know, if anyone like you know, if someone's gonna listen to that, like, they know what Shnai Mikra. It's all good. So we have to record. So you have to do Shnai Mikra. You need to know what's going on in the chobos. Those like there's something very very like deep and exciting about like. Us and like Rechaim Kanievsky are both doing the exact same thing. When I open up like the Gemara, like, we know we're learning on a different level, and we're learning Chumash on a different level, but we're both learning like the same. We're both going through Parshas Mishpatim and say, okay, fine. He's seeing it on a much different, and a much clearer, and a much better level than this entire yeshiva combined is seeing it. I get that, but we all have the chiv of doing it. You know, there's something very beautiful to that. Halacha. It's what makes up our lives of knowing what to do. But there's also like there are certain like mice that I've had in my life of people who are I don't know, big time chacham could be like a little bit of hyperbole, but very very learned people and like talking about what I wouldn't call as like it's not like some like random footnote off a footnote off a footnote chumra that like okay yeah Rechaim Kanievsky knows that we don't know that. But like basic halachas and like I don't know like Hilchos Megillah, which people have like learned like things that not like an obscure like Hilchos Shabbos halacha that like we don't really know and they have no idea like they're holding very well like if my ox gores you who's chai which is very deep and very important I'm not downplaying the significance of that but it really we really have to make that halacha being a major part of our lives like. I think I told you fellas with Moshe Goodfreund who got me back into learning Mishnah Berurah Yomi and as of the Shem in a week and a half I'm going to finish Chel Vav while you're standing.
That's the last one.
I didn't go in order. So it'll now be Beis and Vav and we'll move on to Hilchos Pesach hey after. But that was just a lot of things that like, I didn't remember, I didn't know and like it really, it's super, super important. I was never a Mishnayos guy. I'm still really not a Mishnayos guy. More, now it's more of just a force thing that I do it, but I learned with my son Mishnayos, and I started doing Mishnayos Yomi, which is also very, very important. It gives you, I really have to like reinvent education, because it's part of, and it's for a much different time, like part of the problem learning Gemara is, besides like the problem of learning Gemara, is we're learning Gemara knowing nothing. So it's, it'd be like having like a 3-year-old who can't reach like the, sitting in a car, having him drive a car, like, hey, obviously a 3-year-old can't drive a car. He's not ready to drive a car. He doesn't have any of the basic functions that one needs to drive a car. So we learn Gemara not knowing anything. Like, I don't know any of you done like the beginning of like Maseches Rosh Hashanah. The beginning of Rosh Hashanah talks about all these psukim from Daniel and Ezra and Nehemiah, and that's not even getting into like Parshas Bereishis, which we don't know well. But, like, who's holding Daniel, Ezra, and Nehemiah? So we're trying to learn Gemara. We don't know Tanakh. We don't know Mishnayos. So we don't even know the basics of it, and to just get into that would be very, very important. Yeah, what's up?
I don't even know the names of all the Sfarim and Tanakh and Mishnayos.
Yeah, that's also very. I mean, I'm getting like from.
I don't even know the names. Forget about the little learning. Like,
so my daughter, who's 5, is just telling me all the 24 books of Tanakh. Which I also do know, so it's not like that's not like a brag. I think nowadays it is. I think like when I grew up, people just knew that. Like, I don't know how we knew that. We just did. But yeah, I mean, that might show you like the difference between, you know, having your child go to school here versus America. I don't know. Maybe 5-year-olds in America also know it. And I'll just conclude with a maisa I heard recently. It's very it speaks well to me. We need Herschel for this. It's his Rebbe, Rav Gifter. Or twice to quote Rav Gifter, but it's maybe he's even told over this story. But Rav Gifter had in his house the pictures of Gedolim. It's a great thing to have pictures of Gedolim. It's also great to have like Sfarim in your house. Rav Eitan Feiner, a Rav in Shulam for Rockaway, he once was talking about like, even if you don't learn Sfarim, and even if you want to say it's expensive wallpaper, it's kedai to have it in your house, because, you know, when someone walks into your house, they should see your Sfarim. They shouldn't see, you know, the 96-inch screen television. You can have a 96-inch screen television also. But, you know, like everything in life, you know, it can't just be gashmius. It's got to have the ruchnius also. But Rav Gifter, he'd have pictures of Gedolim. He had pictures of Rebbeim in his house. It's beautiful. I like pictures of Rebbeim. It's a beautiful thing to have. He had one picture. It was a blank picture. Like, you know, like imagine that, like, you walk into someone's house, you got Rav Chaim Kanievsky, you got Rav Yashiv, you got Received, you know, you got the Chavetz Chaim, like, you know, you have Rav Shammai, Rav Machlis, like, you know, you have Rav Shechter, you have the whole Rav Rimon, you have all that, and then you have a blank picture. Like, well, I don't know, like, you know, okay, so I would naturally think the picture fell out. They just didn't replace it, okay? You know, I tell you a story of a kid who's slamming the door in his hands. Like, you know, is that any more crazy? Like, can you imagine that? Is that any more crazy than I had a picture that the picture fell out? But on the picture, it said, why not me? Okay, so now that's a little, but I didn't fall out. So Rav Gifter wrote on that, he had a blank picture with the words, why not me, on that, because he was saying that, why am I not the Gadol picture that everyone has in their house? Like, you go down, like, there's certain pictures of, like for Moshe with his head over the Gemara, I have Rav Eliashiv with his Dalai Lama, meaning like Rav Shlomo Zalman, who's having like a massive, massive like smile, like a Rav Machlis type smile, he's always looking so happy. Like, there's certain pictures that, like, you just see in the building, like the Chavetz Chaim picture is not really the Chavetz Chaim. Like, you know, there's a lot of pictures that like are like famous that we see, like, and Rav Gifter saying, like, why am I not that person? Why, not as a brag, like, why am I not doing that? And it gets to that point, like, it's now. It's like really now. Like, you're writing your, now we don't live our lives like that at a hesped. You're gonna end your hesped, you know, in 100 years from now, people are gonna be like, shh. I was like, if you're like 120, people are gonna be so old that are there, like, everyone's gonna be like, they're all going to be dying also. But like, we don't live our lives for like the hesped to be, oh, what a life. But you really are writing your life. And everything that we're doing, there's always, for anything that's negative, there's always a reaction to why I didn't do that. And to always, I'm not saying you have to go put up in your, a blank picture frame of your parents' house, like, you know, get rid of like, I'm not saying like they have like a $25,000 like sculpture or something. Get rid of it and say like, why not me? I'm not saying don't do anything radical or stupid like that.
Right,
why weren't you the painter? But to really live life and to think life about that. Why not me? Why not me? Like, the greatness that we can produce, and the kind of people that we can be. You know, the potential is unlimited. You all have the capacity to make really, really big impacts in the world. And And you're entering it. You're going to enter it pretty soon also. And you're going to see that it's not so easy. It's not so easy. It's much easier in yeshiva. Like, even in yeshiva, if you show up at 10 o'clock, you know, you're still doing more than people that are not in yeshiva. So there's a major advantage here. But to really, to live that, to write that on our chest. Why not me? Why not me? Like, there's an alumnus, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but for those of you that are there, an alumnus who just told me, he just had his 2-year anniversary of the last time he looked at anything he shouldn't look at, and the last time that he admitted seeing it. It's been two years, and he was like, "Dang, like, it's really amazing." Like, yeah, that really is amazing, and like everything, like anyone who had that issue, you could say, like, why not me? There's people who, like, my parents' neighbor, he had to go to the hospital like years ago, but he hadn't missed a minion in 40 years. Imagine that, 40 years not missing a minion. Like, being able to say when you're 60, why not me? And that's kind of, you know, practically speaking, like, you know, we're going to live in a world to be doing, so everyone's going to miss me now. But, you know, hopefully, you know, we're all going to be normal at some point again in our lives. But, like, anything and everything in life to be like, why not me? Like, Ramachas, like, the incredible, exorbitant amount of chesed that he does. Like, you know, we're able to do it, and chesed kicks us in the face. Well, you don't have to have 100 people for 3 meals a day, like for 3 meals every Shabbat. Like, we're able to figure out what works to us, but in everything in life, to really have that. Why is it not me? Why am I not the one? Like, it's kind of the Rav Gifter's story is kind of true. If you think that, like, we really are an empty picture. We're an empty picture, we're an empty vessel that we're trying to make it as full as it can be. And don't live life negatively. Sometimes we're doing well in life. Oh, you know, I stink. I'm being like, no, we don't have to like kill ourselves. You know, we need a push, Benji. We need a push, but we don't have to, like, you know, you don't have to tell a person like, oh, you're always here. No, you're terrible. You're not terrible. But we all have the potential to always be doing better and to really, and it starts with saying, why not me? Why not me? Why am I not the person? Why, you know, when they're talking, if I'm in YU, like, and they're talking about the top guys in YU, so when this guy's telling me, this guy with a smile, and they're telling me Zach Fagan's brother, they're telling me all these top guys in YU, like, why not you? I want to talk about you. I want to meet, like, some guy from George Trapp, like, you know, Joe Trapp. I mean, he is. It could be. I mean, it's very possible. It is what they're talking about. I don't interact much with George Trapp guys. Not that I have a problem with George Trapp guys. It's just, you know, you guys know. But to really have that, Ethan, I want to always live that. Why not me? In everything that you're doing in life, like when you're meeting the guy who's like in secular college, like, you know, assuming that's even what they're to do such a thing. Okay, fine, whatever. You know, for argument's sake. When you're meeting the guy in secular college who's like, somehow he's pushing himself, he's doing more. Then ask yourself, why not? That could be me. You could be the guy that they're talking about. When I was in YU, the guy was in Columbia. He came to Shear every day in YU while in Columbia. You know, that's pretty impressive. But, yeah, he had to go to Columbia, whatever reasons. But he was learning, you know, 4 or 5 hours every single day. Obviously, he's also writing Spartan. Obviously, you're very smart when you're doing all of that. But he wasn't living. Why not me? He was that. He's not the empty vessel. One of the saddest things will be when the screen flashes game over, and then you can't say why not me anymore. It wasn't you. You didn't do it. You didn't complete the mission. Like, you know, you play, and, you know, I used to grow up before, you know, probably hard to imagine, these have video games that you couldn't save. So, like, let's say you wanted to play Mario, you actually had to beat it all in one shot. And there was no such thing like just leaving the TV on. Like, whatever, it was a time. You basically had one opportunity to win. Now you can save. But imagine you're playing the whole game. You're playing for hours. You want Dungeons, Dragons, and Dungeons and Caves, whatever it's called. D&D. Dungeon something.
Dungeon Dragons.
Okay, you're playing the whole game. Like, at the end of the game, like, I don't know, like, somebody just comes, he rips everything off, or the game just turns off, and, like, he didn't complete it. So, like, that's what our life is. Like, we want our life at the end to be, like, look at it, like, wow. And I look back, like, I had pride because I completed it. Like, or he's going to look back. He's going back now. He's going to look in 6 months from now. I want to do this, and I'm doing it. I'm doing great. I'm completing my mission. I have goals. And when they're asking me, why not me? That's not Akasha. Not Akasha, why not me? I'm doing me. Like, I'm not a blank picture. Like, they're putting that picture up. Like, you're imagining that. Like, the picture of him going down, you know, a black, green rope, grave, I don't know, skiing terms, but something, diamond, I don't know, something along those lines. Some really big mountain that you're going down. But, like, also having, like, you know, the sits is flopping out, and, like, you know, he's, like, chazering, like, all shots while doing it. They're not asking why not me. They're looking at you with a lot of simcha. So it'd be the saddest thing. It'd be the saddest thing to have life end with, why am I not there? Let's all be there. Let's all make it that we are there and reach the greatest of our potential.
Amen.